And it was adults and consensual, and everybody who was there wanted to be there.
Between at least 2008 and the present, Combs abused, threatened, and coerced victims to fulfill his sexual desires, protect his reputation, and conceal his conduct. He used the embarrassing and sensitive recordings he made of the freak-offs as collateral against the victims. The freak-offs sometimes lasted days at a time, involved multiple commercial sex workers, and often involved a variety of narcotics to keep them obedient and compliant.
You're hearing from federal prosecutors claiming that Sean Diddy Combs, also known as P. Diddy, has been abusing and exploiting women since the year 2008, at least. Even though the lawyers representing the hip-hop mogul say it was all consensual, which is what you just heard. Well, it appears that Diddy was in a New York court yesterday and has been arrested on counts of racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion, and transportation to engage in prostitution. This is obviously a national story. I'll even say international story when you look at P. Diddy's past and how influential he has been in the music industry over the decades. But hyper-local here to Connecticut, besides some people being shocked over somebody who they were probably a fan of for quite some time, we need to talk about human and sex trafficking here in our state, because believe it or not, it is a huge problem, including here in Fairfield County, which is where the nonprofit organization Partnerships to End Human Trafficking is located. And Jamie Manarikiza with the nonprofit is back with us for more. Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong, but human trafficking, sex trafficking, maybe not to the extent of this case with Mr. Combs, but it is alive and well in our state, correct?
Yeah, good morning. Absolutely. It is alive and well. And I would say that although the magnitude of the Hollywood-esque and the power and control that an individual and figure like Diddy represented, the methods that he controlled victims with is not unique to his methods. We see them used very commonly across individuals that we serve and we identify. And we actually talk about the elements of coercive control that are referenced in the indictment as a part of our training to raise more awareness, to identify the issues locally in everyday cases.
Is human and sex trafficking, are those underreported here in Connecticut?
Yes, as is common in almost every state across the United States and globally. As you mentioned, this touches international awareness, but trafficking, as we know, is a global issue, a national issue, and a local issue here to our state, and is often underreported and is really challenging for authorities to have the resources to go after all of the cases of human trafficking because of the complexities of how labor-intensive and time-intensive they are to investigate.
And Jamie Manarikiza, I would imagine that's one of the biggest challenges for your nonprofit, Partnerships to End Human Trafficking in Fairfield County, is just even getting the message out there, because I would imagine the average Connecticut resident has no clue that this isn't something happening in a third world country. It's also happening right here in one of the richest counties in America.
Yeah, we are located in Fairfield County, and the majority of our services are centered here. In Fairfield County, through New Haven, we do work statewide as well. We have a residential home both in Bridgeport and the greater Hartford region, serving individuals from our state and the country. And we identify that there are many individuals that come to our services that have unfortunately experienced long time of abuse, but have not had the service access or identification until it becomes much more severe.
Another thing too, Jamie Manarikiza, that I find with this story is when you hear federal prosecutors saying this could have been going on for two decades at least. I mean, how much of human trafficking, sex trafficking, transporting people is sort of happening under our own noses? I believe you and I have talked about this in the past, that I-95, that corridor, for example, is swarming with this type of criminal activity, isn't it?
Yeah, and so major traffic routes are always sort of hotspots. So I-95, we often cite the corridor from Baltimore up through Boston. Of course, that cuts right through Connecticut as a hotspot between New York and Boston for transportation of victims. The Berlin Turnpike in Connecticut has had a lot of notoriety of recognizing these cases and vulnerabilities. We also see that, of course, transportation, which is one of the alleged indictments for Diddy's case of transporting individuals across state lines, is common in trafficking. But it's important to also recognize that so trafficking happens by the beginning of an act, by a means, which are those force, fraud, and coercion for a purpose. And the act, which includes transportation sometimes, doesn't have to include that all the time. You can have things like harboring, so keeping individuals and victims housed in a home that you're providing and facilitating and maintaining them in. You can entice them with false promises. That can be part of the recruitment. Recruiting individuals can be another element. So lots of these elements that begin the crime are part of, of course, Diddy's case, but they're also part of the cases that we see here. And transportation may be part of that, but doesn't always have to be. So somebody can be trafficked right in the same town that they were located in, right in New Haven or in Bridgeport or in Norwalk, and never leave that town's borders. And it still actually can meet the definition of the crime.
Many across the nation have their eyes on the case involving Sean Diddy Combs, who is a hip-hop mogul. And federal prosecutors say he has been abusing and exploiting women since at least the year 2008. Right now, he is facing charges of racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion, and transportation to engage in prostitution. And this case certainly is ongoing, but it certainly speaks volumes to a reality we have right here in Connecticut that most people don't realize. And that is that human and sex trafficking is happening here in our state. And that includes heavily happening in Fairfield County, which is why years ago, the Partnerships to End Human Trafficking nonprofit began its work and trying to combat this issue and bring attention to this, awareness to people in our state. Jamie Manarikiza with Partnerships to End Human Trafficking is here. Jamie, can we start by talking about signs of human trafficking? For people listening, going, holy moly, had no idea this was even a thing. You're freaking me out, but I'm glad I know about it. What are signs of human trafficking taking place? Or, you know, you had mentioned kids being groomed into sex trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking. How do you spot that, or how do you detect that it's happening?
Yeah, so I think, of course, getting to know the signs is important. And there's no one sign alone that can determine trafficking, right? So there used to be a list that would have things like looking for indicators such as tattoos and branding that traffickers may use, recognizing if someone seems isolated, unable to look you in the eye, doesn't have access to their documents, is fearful. And all of those are true, but no one sign alone may help you to determine it. And so there's been updated signs and indicators recommendations from Polaris, which is the National Anti-Human Trafficking Resource Center and operates the 24/7 hotline that anyone can call, all of us in the community. We report tips to that. And they updated recognizing the signs of sex trafficking to be more about, which I think is incredibly impactful as a practitioner in the field for so long. I think this is more accurate for us to all think about, is recognizing and getting to understand the issue. And getting to know our community and those around us, being mindful and engaged, and not so often now we're looking down at phones, we're not engaging with our neighbors, we're not getting to really understand and know the kids in our schools, the individuals that are in our faith communities or our workplaces, our tenants, and sort of taking the time to really know who's with it, who's around you, and when do things change? Maybe you had somebody that was within your youth group at a church that you knew was a bit vulnerable. Maybe you had some concerns about their housing security, and all of a sudden they start coming. They drop out of group and then they come back to group, and maybe they come back to group a bit changed. Maybe they come back dressed differently. Their hair's done, their nails done. They have sort of this sudden ability to have cash. which, you know, you're unsure of where it could come from, those would be really, you know, red flags for someone like us to say, okay, if we know this individual because they've been in our community and we know that they lack resources and now all of a sudden this young person has access, you know, where is that coming from? That's mm-hmm. usually a red flag. Yeah. So just getting to know those in our midst and recognizing when things change, sudden older boyfriend, behavioral changes, truancy, and paying attention to that and asking some questions when you see it.
And I think, too, Jamie Manorikiza, that the other thing that people should look at is not just the youth. You know, right now we're living in times that it's very, very expensive. I mean, let's be real, and I'm not trying mm-hmm. to call out any entities, but there are people selling foot photos to make money, to make a quick buck. I mm-hmm. mean, people are really trying to live in kind of dark times. And even here in Fairfield County, which, you know, on the surface, one of the richest counties in the country, but a lot of people under the surface are struggling. And so we're almost normalizing too much of over-sexualizing to make a quick buck. And that it's really harmless. So I think it's also important to bring awareness to that. Would you agree?
Yes. And I think even so, if we go back to even thinking about the P. Diddy indictment, it talks about how he forced and coerced individuals with threats of taking away their housing, their security, their career. And similarly, individuals are driven to vulnerable situations here in our county, especially with affordable housing crisis. To end the normalization of, you know, apps such as even OnlyFans, Skip the Game, apps that create really dangerous opportunities for individuals that at first don't appear dangerous. Even sugar daddy websites, there was a case of a young girl who was a nursing student in Texas that was murdered by a sugar daddy website individual that it later became aware that the individual accused was on that site. And so not realizing that that's how unsafe the situation was that this individual was engaging in to be able to support herself through college. And so with the rise of the internet and with the rise of normalizing, as you mentioned, these websites that create more opportunities for individuals to think that they can make quick cash. We also see, of course, the vulnerabilities that go along with the commercial sexual exploitation industry.
Partnerships to End Human Trafficking. If you want to learn more about the work that they do, go to their website, PEHT.org. Again, PET, PEHT.org. And Jamie Manorikiza, thank you and your entire team at Partnerships to End Human Trafficking for the work that you do, especially here in Fairfield County, and for joining us on WICC. We really appreciate it.